Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
What's going on, everybody? It's your man, Dante Miles, back in the building for episode 6 of the High and Outside podcast. I've got a lot of great baseball talk for y'all this week. You know, we got the full team of Yappers on, so, you know, it's going to be a good episode as usual. Before we get started, make sure you go ahead and follow us at The Barber's Chair Co. on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/barbershairnetwork. We have 4 different tiers for you to choose from, all very affordable, a lot of great content. If you're looking for any of our merch, you can get your merch from thebcnetshop.com. And for everything else Barber's Chair Net related, from our every show that we have, our editorials and things of that nature, and our schedule for live events, make sure you check us out at thebcnet.com. Like I said, I am your boy Dante. You can follow me at October's on Tay on Twitter. And now let me bring my amazing cashed in. Again, we're going to start with the star tender because my boy was out there making money for the Kentucky Derby. Sid, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. It's good to be back. I miss talking about baseball with y'all, even though I never stopped talking about baseball with y'all because, like you said, we got the full team of yappers here. Like, we speak Japanese over here. Like, we really be talking, like, me and Court especially. Like, but it's great to be back. Baseball has actually never been better for me right now. Like, it's great. I missed you guys so much. So, yeah.
I mean, it's funny
how happy that man is. Look at what you're saying. Your team's not stressing you out. Life is.
I was just about to say it. It must be beautiful being in first place. You know, this. He's never smiling like this. It's been a few years, you know.
Yeah, if you're watching Courtney, the video version of this, Sid's got the biggest smile on his face right now, like a Cheshire cat.
Courtney, how you feeling down there in Dallas?
Oh man, you know, life has been good to me as of late. We are in a real good spot right now on the hockey front. Got a big game tomorrow, so hoping we can just wrap this up and move on to the Western Conference Final. That would be real nice. It's really all I can think about at this point in my life. No offense to the baseball, like the baseball consumes the little free time that I do have. But yeah, all my mind right now is just thinking, what size ring and what finger am I going to put this ring on? That's all that drives me.
I definitely get that. Malik, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, bro. It's just been a nice little early few days in baseball this week. Got a firsthand look at the Colorado Rockies, the truly worst team in baseball. Probably going to be one of the worst teams ever. I think their pitcher today, today's Wednesday, I think he gave up 6 hits in the first 6 batters, like 4 runs in the first. So, but I'm doing well, man.
No, that's what's up, bro. Yeah, man, it's been an interesting day. I was over at, hold on, got the computer acting up. Give me a second. I was over at Truist Park. Got a chance to, what the fuck? There we go. Got a chance to talk to Ronald Acuna for a minute. It was very interesting. Like, we talked about this in a pre-show. The game started at 7:15. The Braves made his media availability for 6:45. So that was basically a sign like, hey, you got 15 minutes. Come talk to this guy before this game starts. And he said some interesting comments. Shout out to Mark Bowman, the Atlanta Braves beat writer, because one thing he does, and I've noticed this throughout the different press conferences, if there's a hot button topic, he's going to talk about it. And that's going to be the first question that he asks. So as soon as Ronnie hit the seat, he asked him about the tweet from a couple weeks ago with, you know, Jared Kelnick and all of that. And then Ronnie gave a very politically correct answer, but I mean, it's what you got to do when you're the face of the team. He said, you know, he apologized. He went to talk to Kelnick face to face like a man, and, you know, everything's good. He's ready to come back. And the most interesting thing to me was when they asked him, how much time does he actually need on a rehab stint? He just started playing in his hair and laughed and said, you got to ask the boss. So that let me know that, like, bro is ready to come back. Like, he's not really trying to go to Gwinnett, but for the sake of everything you have to do to check every box, he's going to go down there. And I think, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he's back with the team by this weekend. Like, basically, you know, yesterday he hit a home run in a simulated game. and he will be going up to Gwinnett tomorrow to play in an actual game. So I think that'll be quick. Spencer Strider, not so much. He had a simulated game today at Truist. And if you've seen the reports, by the time the third inning rolled around, he was sitting at about, you know, 94, 95. And that's not Spencer Strider. That's not the guy that they need right now, even though their pitching staff has been able to hold it down despite the offense struggling. But, you know, that's the big shot in the arm that they're expecting, you know, him and Lopez to return. And there's still a lot of question marks there. So, you know, the Braves is going to be interesting. You know, I was out in the ballpark today. They've won two in a row, but I mean, they're playing the Washington Nationals, a team that had, you know, some hype coming into the year, but outside of CJ and James Woods, hasn't been a lot of good stuff going on in Washington, even more the same. So, if they win tonight, it'll be three in a row and we'll see if they are able to build on anything. But right now they are still chasing, Sid's New York Mets, one of the hottest teams in baseball. And it's just the result of starting 0-7. When you start 0-7, you got to dig out of a hole. I know it's 162, but it's going to take them a little bit longer. So, man, we're going to see what's going on with that. But, yeah, I'm good, man. It was a good day at the ballpark. And I'm, like I said, excited to finally come sit down and talk baseball with my favorite yappers. You feel me? And so let's knock into this, get into this first topic. Team USA. Now, as we all know, they've been doing their due diligence in building the World Baseball Classic to be the premier baseball event outside of the World Series. And I think they've done a good job with that. 2023 was an amazing tournament. It was exciting start to finish. The host sites are, in my opinion, perfect, spread out across the country. You know, you got some really good baseball cities and really good towns where you get to experience a different type of baseball atmosphere in the WBC. And this year, you know, as Americans, with it being our national pastime, we're actually looking to try to reclaim that crown. And one thing we talked about in the pre-show is that once you start looking at these rosters, you know, reality kind of sets in that baseball has been held together by Latin America and Japan. Like, it is just a harsh reality, you know, kind of similar to basketball. We talk about how, you know, the foreigners have come over and taken the game that we love. Well, the baseball, there ain't no question. Like, you could question it in basketball. With baseball, there is no debate. Like, they have better rosters. Go ahead.
That being said, I, you know, again, my patriotism, you know, can, you know, comes in ebbs and it does wave. However, when it comes to USA baseball, red, white, and blue, motherfucker, these colors don't run. USA.
Oh, no. I say this to everybody. There are very few moments that will make Black people more patriotic than sporting events. Like, correct. This is one of the few moments where we come together and say, you know what? We have our issues, but we love this fucking country. And we're not correct. Trying to hear none of that shit you're talking about. So, well,
as we get into this, I can, uh-huh. You know, just talking about the roster construction and we can go into this a bit more. But we were talking about in the pre-show, guys who probably won't be there. Jeff McNeil had one of the most disciplined at bats ever that I've ever seen from him. That gave us the setup for Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout in that nine inning at, like, what was it, maybe anywhere from 3 to 5 a.m. And I remember, like, sitting up and being like, yo, like, let's fucking go, like, USA. And my roommate is like, bro, it's baseball. And I'm like, yeah, it fucking is. Like, how can you not do this? Yeah, like, you know, like, USA baseball, like, there's who does not feel better, like, yelling what the fuck is a kilometer, because like you know, like,
we, system.
Yeah, bro, like, it's us, Liberia and Burma, we're the only ones who have it right.
No, bro, definitely, bro, it's energizing and it's fun. And so before, like you said, before we get into this roster construction, let me take a second and we're going to actually look at the roster from the 2023 WBC. And like I said, as much as we love our country and we love baseball, when you look at this roster, it's like, it's only a few people doing the heavy lifting, and most of them are not pitchers. And so I'm gonna start with the pitchers. We had Jason Adam, Daniel Bard, David Bernard, Cal Freeland, Kendall Graveman, Merrill Kelly, Aaron Loop, Lance Lynn, God rest his soul, Nick Martinez, Miles McAuliffe, Adam Ottavino, Ryan Presley, Brady Singer, Adam Rainwhite, and Devin Williams. So the pitching was not our strength last year, and that's why this announcement.
When you start thinking about future pitching construction, now relief is a little bit different again, just because you know that changes so much, right? Like who the dominant relief pitchers are, but like starting pitching, obviously Paul Skeens just committed, but like Hunter Green, that would be fucking sick. Tarek Skubal, sick. Garrett Crochet, that's crazy. Who else am I forgetting? Logan Gilbert.
Oh, anybody from that Matt Mariner Wheeler? Team.
Yeah. Aaron Nola, if that's your thing, you know?
Not my thing, but yeah.
David Peterson? Can we throw a David Peterson up there? Elite left-hand pitcher?
Yeah, I'm just talking starters, to be clear. That was just starters. I'm not even talking about relief. Mason Miller?
Yeah, but that's my thing. Because, again, like I said, the Skeens announcement was big, but it's about who we get to actually compete. We got Skeens. We got Aaron Judge named team captain. So you got two stars, you know, with heavy name recognition. But I'm more concerned with the pitching than the position players, even though we'll read that in a second. And that wasn't as nice as we thought it was either. A few of those guys are barely hanging on to being in the league right now. So that's going to be interesting, especially. And I think we have a logjam in the outfield. I think we have a logjam in the outfield in terms of the young players we can use and the guys who were there last year. Because if you remember last World Baseball Classic, Mookie played outfield. This year, we don't know if he's going to play infield or outfield. It's a good problem to have as far as I'm concerned because he was a Gold Glove outfielder. But we don't know which position he'll be playing, and he hasn't even committed to it yet, although I'm sure he will play. So for me, let me ask y'all this. Again, we're going to go back to the guys who we said probably won't be there this year. Jeff McNeil, God bless you for your service. You're an amazing taxpaying American, but you will not be on this roster, brother. Cedric Mullins, I think that's another borderline guy. Tim Anderson may not be playing Major League Baseball anymore. So
Dante.
That's
controversial. Controversial. And I'll be the one to say it. I will fall on this sword. Mike Trout, brother. Thank you for your contributions to USA Baseball. Someone play taps. It's been a good run. It's over, dude.
That's a good question because I mean he said it. You know, when they announced that Aaron Judge should be the new captain, you know, he co-signed it. He said, you know, I love it and he wants to be there, but I mean
love to have you in the dugout for morale.
Yeah,
I mean, Paxton Merrill and Corbin Carroll and Aaron Judge and even a Mookie Betts or any, respectfully, I need some youth. I need some speed. And again, it's no disrespect to Mike Trout. Incredible player. I just feel like it's time to pass the baton.
Absolutely. With Aaron, I'm going to swing this around to everybody. With Aaron Judge penciled in as your starting center fielder and your captain, what are the two outfielders you want to see on Team USA? With me, I'm going Mookie and Kyle Tucker. That's just me personally.
Tucker for sure and Mookie, but that would mean you have to plug Mookie into left because I don't know if you really want to put Kyle Tucker in the left. I mean, he can play left. But again, defensive value, I don't know how I feel about that. I'd probably plug Mookie in out there first, but Jackson Merrill, again, great. That would be a nice outfield arm. I like Kyle Tucker, though. I do like Kyle Tucker playing right. I don't hate that.
Yeah. I wasn't as huge of a Kyle Tucker guy, and I'm about to throw it to you, as I am now because of everything I've seen him do with the Cubs. And, like, I've been, you know, impressed with that, just watching him a lot more. But, Sid, who would you want to see as those other two outfielders aside from Aaron Judge?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you have an influx of talent, I think you probably just throw your most athletic guys into the outfield and kind of just say, hey, rely on what you know. So there's some really interesting choices. Obviously, the perfect ones are like Jackson Merrill and Kyle Tucker and Mookie. I think if we have to, like, kind of flex some of the infield based on based on how we do some of this, like maybe let's stash like Gunnar Henderson in like left field, or maybe let's stash like Bobby Witt in left field in the same way that they would do a la Jordan Yordan Alvarez, in the same way that they're kind of hoeing Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could kind of see a deal like that where we can stash some of those guys, just, you know, off the strength of their athleticism, and kind of just say, like I said, you have instinct, you have baseball, like Courtney, you said, you want young guys, you want speed. They're the best young, fast guys with ridiculous bats. So
like Jaron Duran, you know, like Jaron Duran and Jackson Merrill, at least you're getting a lefty, you know, a left-handed bat in that lineup.
Exactly. So there's room for versatility, but you know, like I think, you know, if we're going to lean into this now new generation of baseball, let's start it off right. Let's get the young guys in there. Let's see them play out of position, right? Like, you know, how committed are you to your country? Like Gunnar Henderson, how much do you love your country, brother? Like, are you committed to the war against Shohei Ohtani like I am? Because we need to be.
No, absolutely. Malik, bro, let me ask you the same question. You already got Aaron Judge penciled in. What are two outfielders you want to see out there for Team USA?
I'm not going to use Jackson Merrill, although I do like that in center field. I'm going to go with Corbin Carroll, and I'm going to give a little Texas love. Wyatt Langford, only in the second year to year. Hey, home run today, two-run home run today. He's been, you know, didn't spend a lot of time in the minors, but like you said, he's the young, exciting name. He's got the speed. He's got the power. I think he's sort of going to introduce himself to the baseball world this year if he can keep healthy through the All-Star break and maybe sneak into the outfield out there. But I'd really be interested in seeing him out there in left field. And then Corbin Carroll led his team to the World Series, what, like in 2023. Slow year last year, but he's doing better this season. Athletic guy. I think he'd be a great addition. You can plug him over in center and move Judge over to right if need be. And then maybe I'd probably reserve that DH spot for a Kyle Tucker. I'm not mad if Tucker starts. And if, you know, you want to bench Wyatt for the same reason why they benched Bobby Witt, just not enough experience. But although I think Bobby deserves to be the team shortstop after sitting going last year, and he didn't get a lot of playing time at either spot. So I'm going to go with those guys. And then I guess for a wild card, you throw in maybe a Mookie Betts if depending on who moves over to second. Like you guys are talking about, though, it's these are athletes. We saw Tim Anderson go from shortstop to being able to audition for second base, which now he's playing more second base. So I think that one of the Bobby Witts of the world or Gunnar Henderson's, anybody like that could take that spot.
I have a question for you guys real quick.
I'll go ahead.
Now, do you think that there's – so, Malik, you brought up, you know, the possibility of a Kyle Tucker DHing, and it made me think about the possibility of, you know, any of the catchers, just because I know we discussed in our group chat earlier, like, the catchers, you know, and who would be the catcher. You know, you got Cal Raleigh, obviously, with Seattle, and then Adley Rutschman with Baltimore. Do you think there's a possibility that they could maybe carry three, especially if Will Smith with the Dodgers does decide to play? What do you think about the probability of three catchers on Team USA, especially if Cal Raleigh continues to perform the way that he is in Seattle?
I think if Cal can separate himself as a hitter and be up at not, I mean, let's not say Aaron Judge category because he's not going to hit 400, but if he can stay being a top 15, 20 hitter in the league, I mean, the guy's good at defense too. He carries one of the best pitcher staffs in baseball. I think he'd be the one out of those three where you can sort of DH. I do feel like you lose a little bit of speed with the roster size. Like, you know, you're either cutting down on an outfielder or infielder. But on the other hand, you're also keeping these guys fresh. I know, you know, these teams don't want Will Smith out there and Allie out there catching hella playoff. I mean, these are championship innings. You don't want to put that much stress on them. So I could see them giving a little bit of break, but I think if anybody goes to DH, it'd be Cal.
Yeah. Sid, how you feel about that?
Yeah, just about the same. I mean, you could probably slot some guys at first base just because, you know, that's what catchers do. You play first base, you play third base, you play catcher. Really just depends.
Like Gunnar Henderson playing third base and shortstop, you know?
Exactly. Like you said, young, athletic. That's the goal. That should be the goal moving forward. We have a lot of youth in baseball right now. We have a lot of players, kids in baseball right now. And so if there is ever a time to try to recapture the lightning in a bottle that is the steroid era, it is with their children and their clean cut friends. So like, this is probably about the time for Manfred to say like, hey bros, like, we kind of need you. Like I said, how much do you love your country? Like, and if I'm Manfred, I might be willing to dress up as Uncle Sam, since, you know, you're already in Trump's office doing his bidding. So, you know, you might as well just fuck around and fully commit to it.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, another catcher all started out throughout there. Just if we're going to have three, Sean Murphy, just because he can hit the cover off the ball when he's on. So that's another guy out there. But Malik hinted at this, and I want to close this conversation with this second base. I think second base is going to be interesting. We have a lot of talent at shortstop, so there are a lot of people that you could slide over there. And then, you know, when we mentioned the people that we think won't make this roster, I think there is not a more absolutely, you know, guaranteed cut than Tim Anderson right now. I think you can pretty much just write that one in pen and blood, whatever you want to write it in. He's not going to be on this roster. He's just not. So now you have to plug that hole at second base. For me personally, I would love to see one of the two between Gunner and Witt slide over there, just because I'm with you. I agree that we need to have a youth movement. This is a moment to get your best and brightest in these big moments in the bright lights. But at the same time, Mark DeRosa is the manager again. And I mean, we know how very old school, unwritten rule, you got to earn it kind of person he is. So I'm interested to see how they fill that spot at second. But I do think that youth movement should continue at that spot. What are y'all thinking? Courtney, I'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I'm thinking youth movement, and also if I'm thinking of, again, being able to play multiple positions, first guy that comes to mind is Christian Campbell. He can play second base and he can play in the outfield. But again, Mookie Bates can also play second base and outfield. So if you do want to keep that position with a veteran, you know, that's, again, someone who can play multiple positions. But Christian Campbell, definitely somebody that I could see also playing second base and in the outfield for Team USA.
Yeah, no, definitely. Malik, how you feel?
I like that Christian Campbell pick. I think Mookie gets the spot. You know, save an outfielder, get some more speed out there. And I can see maybe Gunner maybe playing third. So I'm going to roll with Mookie. But I do like that Christian Campbell pick. I think that's the type of guy that, even if he doesn't get any playing time, like Bobby Witt, because, you know, DeRosa talked about it, like, some guys don't want to come here and sit the bench, and it's a tough conversation. And he tries to be as transparent with the guys so these guys aren't going out there thinking that they're going to be the starter, and then they end up not getting no playing time. I think a guy like Campbell, sit the bench, watch what mentioned Holiday earlier as well, one of those guys to sit the bench and watch, maybe pop in for an inning or two. But if I'm going to go game one or even a championship game, then let me have Mookie a second.
Yeah, it's real. See, how you feeling?
Yep, about the same. Like, you know, it's everyone can't play. And again, if you're bringing young kids to this, you know, what, no matter what their level of success is, it again is all of the best baseball players in the world. So like, there has to be some odd men out, whether that be through merit or whether that be through you know, the same old of you know, you got to earn it. That's fine. Christian Campbell is a fantastic pick. Courtney, I like revel in how smart you are very often when it comes to just pulling names out of hats with numbers and everything behind them. Yeah, maybe like I said in pre-show, Jackson Holiday, just because I love the kid. Brett Beatty, love him. He would absolutely like benefit from being around major leaguers. You know, to this degree. He was saying today, before the Mets game, that he's finally starting to feel like a major leaguer. you know, as he's starting to heat up and hit home runs. So, you know, what's a better way for a kid like Brett Beatty, who was supposed to be like the heir apparent to David Wright and all these different things in New York, to have this opportunity and be able to go for Team USA, sit, enjoy the moment, and then be like, hey, now I'm back. I'm ready to perform. Same thing with Jackson Holliday. Like, you know, give these guys the development that we need for baseball to be a global powerhouse continually, as, you know, Japan readies up to mistreat us. So,
yeah, man, it's going to be an interesting tournament. I think it's going to be exciting. I think, you know, Team USA, you know, can make another run similar to the one that they did. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's about your priorities. What do you want to do? Is this one of those situations where you want to showcase your young talent, or are you going to lean on your veterans to try to secure a victory? So I think that'll be interesting, and the decision DeRosa makes will determine all of that. But I'm excited about it, and I think it'll be another great tournament. Moving forward, we had a topic last week that we discussed. We kind of glanced over it because I thought it was just bullshit. I thought it was just something, you know, to get a couple clicks. And we've talked about people bending the knee and kissing the ring of our president. And it looks like Rob Manfred did exactly that. They, like I said last week, they had a conversation about reinstating Pete Rose and, you know, allowing the Baseball Hall of Fame to decide if they're going to put him on a ballot. And again, we brushed it off, but they did it. Rob Manfred, he reinstated Shoeless Joe, Pete Rose, and a few other people, but those were the two big names. And now in 2028, they will be eligible for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Sid, you weren't able to give your opinion last week. What do you think about this?
As I sit and live and learn and love, it's so very hard to do so in these conditions because, like, sure, whatever, you cannot tell the story of baseball without Pete Rose. That is an undeniable fact. Pete Rose is part of the story of baseball. We do not have to honor that part of the story. In fact, we can continue to shame that part of the story. Same with the other guys. I clearly don't have as strong feelings as anything from the 1920s except the movie Sinners. So, like, I like I'm just cool, like, you know, whatever. Black Friday, White Sox cheating, fixed game, 1918, curses, goats, good for you guys. Glad you're free the guys. Pete Rose, however, you piece of shit. I hope he looks up and hears this and oh man,
like, I
I have so much nothing good to say about Pete Rose and this decision, and for sake of trying to save my future in this industry.
Fair. Very fair.
Yeah, I just hope that the next generation of commissioners across all sports, none of you can be the people I want you to be. And that's fine, and I understand that. I hope you are more creative than your predecessors, because that is what is left in baseball when we try to tell these stories now. It is about their creativity. It is about making sure that we get these stories out, and we make sure that the history of these people playing this game cannot be misinterpreted. And I think what we are doing right now is very intentionally misinterpreting Pete Rose, not only as a baseball player, as a baseball figure, and as a figure outside of baseball. His last public statements were, you know, if I had a translator, I probably wouldn't be banned from baseball. And sure, I guess, but the racism that comes behind it, the inappropriate comments that he has made in regard to younger women, girls, even, I cannot find a place to where we have to honor the human being that Pete Rose is. We certainly don't have to do that. We can put his memorabilia into the Hall of Fame. We can put his batting gloves there. We can put a glove from whatever World Series, or we can put his fucking betting slip in there and sponsor it by FanDuel for all I give a fuck. We cannot honor Pete Rose the person. And if this is the precedent we are continuing to set, you know, for the people who have done less, but still have maybe caused something to question the integrity of baseball, do we have to wait for them to die, for them to get their honors as well? Do we have to wait for RIP Barry Bonds? Do I have to personally wait for RIP Keith Hernandez? I don't think I should. I don't want to. And again, we can immortalize the players for who they, you know, we can immortalize the players for being players. We've done that with Barry Bonds. We've done that with Keith Hernandez. We've done it with Pete Rose. And so now to continually misconstrue this character of this absolutely terrible person who, again, I say is looking up at me record this podcast right now, like, MLB, like, we have got to do better, especially while we try to actively erase that of Jackie Robinson, probably the Superman icon of baseball. Like, I don't understand why we're dragging Superman through the dirt while we hold up Lex Luthor. I don't get it.
That's where we're at now, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, Courtney, I'll let you go ahead next. How do you feel about this ruling? Because like I said, last week we kind of brushed it off and we thought it was bullshit.
We unpacked it for sure. And we all came to the same agreement, right? You know, everybody's lined up to kiss the ring at this particular moment. I will say it really makes you wonder again, what's the point in following the rules if a permanent ban is not a permanent ban? It's not a permanent ban if it ends. Even if the person dies, that's not a permanent ban. That's a lifetime ban. And like, yeah, your family is not responsible for what you may or may not have done, you know, while you were in your career. Your family should not be able to bask in the honors of you possibly being admitted into the Hall of Fame. That's a privilege. It's not some earned right because you were once really, really good at baseball. And like you said, Sid, it's not just the gambling. I think again, where we are in the current climate with sports betting and baseball and how the two are just so intertwined and you can't separate one from the other at this point. It's silly to me that let's be very real here. If it were just the gambling, they would have forgiven that man a long time ago, in my opinion. But it's not just the gambling. It's, like you said, the casual racism, the casual sexism, the sexual harassment, the relationships with minors. And again, this is not a rumor. This is not some unsubstantiated claim. Dude quite literally had a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old. And his argument was, oh, well, I thought she was, wasn't she actually 14? And it's, oh, well, I thought she was 16. I think she's 16 is not a good counter argument when you're 31 years old.
Or
you are a predator, really. Sir.
Anytime.
I don't care. Really. Oh, well, it was, and then when the reporter tried to ask him about it, oh, well, that was 55 years ago, sweetheart. Again, it's the casual, cavalier nature in which he never thought, there was no contrition from Pete Rose at all. So now he just has the opportunity to be forgiven for something he was never actually sorry for. That's bullshit to me. It's bullshit to me. And of course, like I said before, if they were going to unban Pete Rose or take him off the permanently ineligible list. They had to do Shoeless Joe Jackson, even though, again, very different circumstances, just because Shoeless Joe Jackson literally did that shit in 1920, did or didn't, you know, depending on who you ask within the Baseball Writers Association. All that being said, we know what it is. You and I, we all know what it is.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And like the powers that be wanted it to happen, so it happened. Whether or not he actually gets into the Hall of Fame, I think he won't be actually be eligible for the ballot until what, December 2027 or something like that?
They said 28.
Yeah. Again, political climate, social climate might be looking very different by that moment in time. Stay tuned. But it is what it is.
Yeah. And Malik, before you wrap it up, I do think it's interesting that they try to throw Shoeless Joe Jackson in there, because, you know, as a White Sox fan, you know, we've talked about this for years. He actually had one hell of a World Series. Like, it's no debate that the team threw the World Series. The debate has always been that Shoeless Joe wasn't in on it. So it's like, Correct. Don't hold this That's great player out of it. Depends on
who you ask within, you know, the Writers Association and what you believe.
And so I think that's you know, that was definitely done intentionally as a reason to try to, you know, take some of the sting off of bringing Pete back into this conversation.
And if I may, just real quick before we go back to you, Malik, it's so funny that, you know, because, again, the only way that they can all get in, either of them could get in, is, you know, if they're voted in by the – that was – he died in, what, 1950 or something like that? None of the people that were alive to judge him based off of his character or any of the shit that they have in there are alive anymore. Those people that can vote for Pete Rose can absolutely do that because those are his contemporaries. So I just, again, I still don't think he gets in, nor does he deserve to get in. Again, the dude showed that he was not even a little bit sorry, lied and lied again and lied for 15 years and said, oh, well, you know, I really only did it like this. Fuck that guy. Fuck Pete Rose. And in Cincinnati, please tell me y'all saw the posts. Please tell me.
The shirts they were in today.
The 14 Pete Rose Day, May 14th, 2025. They're all in the clubhouse. The gray t-shirts with the white number in the... Be so unbelievably for real right now.
Yeah.
It's, you guys definitely lean back into it. Because we've strayed so far from God's light.
No, it's interesting. Go ahead, Malik.
Yeah, and I mean, y'all said a lot, so I'll keep it.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. I'll keep it short and sweet. But, I mean, the hot to me, just in my 5 years of covering baseball, the stuff that goes on with this Hall of Fame, man, it just, I feel like it's just stained in general. First off, it's in regards to Pete, he's dead. So it's too late to give him his flowers. I understand, you know, his great-grandson or whatever can be at the Hall, but he's dead. He's not getting his flowers. And whatever flowers he got during the All-Star game in Cincinnati a few years ago. No Bonds, no Clemens is in. We know Schilling went crazy and he's not getting in. We see people from, I call it my generation, I'm 28, about to turn 29, just the people that I grew up watching play baseball. It's like they have no shot at getting in the Hall of Fame. It was a stretch to get Helton in. Like it's so weird. It's a popularity contest. Who gets accused of steroids? Who gets put in with steroids? David Ortiz does it. He's a popular guy. Other guys don't get in. So just the integrity with the Hall is just so messed up right now that a lot of the glory that I once thought it had, it sort of faded away. And I think the last straw on it fading away is when, I mean, I know politics they shouldn't be in sports, but they connect sports. We do an anthem. But to just see the president, like, come up and have his opinion of the matter at all, it's just crazy to me. I think the character clause will keep Pete Rose out of the Hall, but like you said, who knows going down a few years ago what the climate on everything will be. I think it's an unnecessary move by Major League Baseball. And like I said, the Hall of Fame, it's just going to keep losing credit when there's no set list of this is who you get in, this is who you get in. It's just, you know, how it,
yeah,
it's a free for all.
Yeah, the lack of consistency, and you got writers who turn in blank ballots and bullshit like that. So I mean, it's at the point where the Hall doesn't really hold that same reverence among baseball fans that it once did. So it'd be interesting. I do think I agree with you, Malik. A move like this, bringing in Pete, but it would just be—I don't want to say the final straw, because for me, the no A-Rod, no Roger Clemens, no Barry Bonds—you know, three of the greatest players that your game has ever seen. Like, I don't give a fuck what they took. Those are three of the greatest people to ever touch a baseball diamond. And for you to exclude them, but then want to be retroactive and say, yeah, this guy was a shit bag, but he was a great baseball player, so we're going to bring him in. No, I don't really agree with that. But that's something that we're going to, you know, keep an eye on. Like I said, it's a few years away, so we'll see if the MLB Hall of Fame committee actually does, you know, even nominate the guy, and we'll go from there. But that'll be interesting.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the East and North sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
This next topic, man, this is a team that, you know, we were tough on their manager over the past couple of years. We were saying, hey, guy, you know, they brought you up here to win some baseball games. You haven't been doing that. But, you know, over the past few years, the Detroit Tigers are finally looking like the team that they planned on building. They're currently in first place in the AL Central, and they are anchored. The pitching is a guy that we all know. Tyreek Skubal has been amazing, and we'll get into that. He has how many strikeouts in his last two starts? 23 in his last two starts. He has just been dominant, picked up where he left off. He leads the league with 71 strikeouts. He leads the American League. And there's another guy, one of the best defensive shortstops that was out there, but now, you know, as because of his struggles on at the plate, he's bounced around a little bit trying to just find a spot in the lineup. Mr. Javi Baez has looked like a gold glover in the center field, which is
former Met Javi Baez, by the way.
Former Cub, well, yeah, he played for the Mets too.
former Met Javi Baez.
Now y'all want to claim him. Y'all were clowning him when now, he swung that 46 foot curveball. Y'all were clowning the man.
Now,
out of Queens.
Brother,
let's not do that.
Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor were my queens of mean. Absolutely. Like, what? That was Regina George and his side bitch. Are you kidding me? They were the sassiest motherfuckers on the diamond in 2020. I absolutely love Javi Baez. What? Yeah. Bro, I'd make that trade 10 out of 10 times. PCA, love you, bro. Hit the bricks. Nah, yeah, you good.
No, Javi's one of my, he was one of the few Cubs that I actually liked. And he's also one of the few outside of Kyle Schwarber who's actually still doing something from that core group. Real quick, I'm going to swing it to you, Courtney, first. Skubal and the Tigers. Is this something where it's like I saw a few years ago where my White Sox were just beating up on the shitty division? Or is this a team that, you know, has finally come around and they are, you know, positioned to really be a threat in the playoffs?
Yeah, no, I think that with the, like, what we're seeing in the American League right now, this is the first time that this has happened, where there's a lot of injuries right now amongst a lot of the top American League frontrunners. The Yankees, their rotation is ailing right now. The Astros, their rotation is ailing right now. The Red Sox, their whole team right now is ailing. So we're seeing, especially again in the American League, where it's kind of anybody's game which I went into this, you know, my prediction was Red Sox Dodgers. I thought really was, I guess, trying to manifest a 2018 rematch because I want my lick back. Okay. But I don't think that's going to happen at this point. I think there's too many holes on that team. But the Tigers, I think they might have figured out some of the issues that they were having. And I mean, besides Tarek Skubal being amazing, Casey Mize, now he's on the IL, but he's been fantastic this season as well. Their whole rotation right now is doing a lot of heavy lifting. And it would not surprise me at all if the Tigers got aggressive at the deadline. Again, relief is probably the easiest thing that a team can fix at the deadline. There's always a lot of, you know, middle relievers that you can grab that can eat up innings. But yeah, this team might be for real.
Yeah. Malik, how you feeling about Detroit?
I mean, I got to watch some of their games over the weekend. They had a 3-game set with the Rangers. Of course, Skubal dominated. I want to say he has like 50 strikeouts, 1 walk in his last 3 games.
He had 32 whiffs against the Rangers.
Yeah, he constantly hit his 99, whiffs. Constantly touching 98 from the left side. I don't want to fully crown them yet as, you know, favorites, but I like the way they play ball. AJ Hinch, even when they were in their bad years, their tough years the year before last, I always thought that the Tigers were one of the more well-coached teams in the league, just in the sense of just paying attention to details, how he works his bullpen, how he constructs his lineup where it depends on if it's a lefty in starting or if it's a righty, and how he Hinch just has so many guys ready to come off the bench every night. Everybody knows their role. I think, like you said, though, they need to make a move here at the deadline. I know they were. I still believe they're in first place in the American League, but I really thought that they would kind of put their foot down this summer and this winter and go sign a guy like Alex Bregman. Go get a big name, a big superstar name that you're not worried about platooning. They're getting their everyday at bats. Can't go wrong with more pitching. I think their bullpen is extremely solid, but I think after Skubal, there's not that guaranteed guy. You know, I'm not in fear of Jack Flaherty. Casey Mize is doing solid. Also, you know, I'm not fully sold on those guys being a World Series rotation yet. Maybe add one more and I'll think that.
Hey, listen, all you need in this modern MLB, all you really need is 3.
Yeah.
Even 2 can get the job done. But don't forget that Dodgers team, it was good on paper before that season started, but that fucking bullpen and that rotation were held together with chewing gum and paper clips.
Oh yeah, and even now you look at the Dodgers list of starting pitchers, just like 30 of them out. Clayton Kershaw's coming back this weekend. I doubt. Well, let me not wish bad on Kersh, but I wonder how. I don't know how long that's gonna even last. Yeah. So
wrap it up.
Depth is always important, but we'll see. I like the way that whole division is interesting to me. You know, like I feel like nobody on that side is in fear of the Tigers. You know, the Royals would want to see them. The Guardians aren't going back down. The Twins have to win a playoff. I say this every year, but they got to win some at some point. So even then, you know, it's going to be fun to watch the end of the Central. But I am impressed with the Tigers. I am impressed with Skubal. I think they are a for sure playoff team lock. Let's just see how deep they can go.
Hey guys, I heard there's a dude that they're trying to move all around the diamond from third base to DH to first base in Boston. That's like really unhappy right now. Maybe a little change of scenery. And I only say that because like Zach McKinstry and Andy Ibanez are not who you want at third base if you are trying to make a World Series push.
I'm not saying you heard it here first.
I'm simply saying, but there's 2 teams where it makes sense for me right now, and that's Seattle and Detroit.
Yeah, no, I paid you $330 million. Your ass gonna stay here, but no, I agree. I agree with you, Courtney. Go ahead, Malik.
No, I was just gonna say. I mean, they got the Tigers could sell the house. You could sell Torque. You could sell a few other guys. You could sell some bullpen. I agree with you, though, Dante. I'm not moving Devers personally. I'm going to wait and see how that relationship goes over these next few weeks, because like you said, I think that the fact that he signed that contract for so long, and maybe Detroit's scared to bring that guy, to pay a guy like that much, who's not there to be the same quality leader that I think they would have paid. I think you pay Bregman a few extra bucks just to be that leader. I don't know if they do that with Devers just to go off your bat on a team that's so unselfish. You know, a guy like Andy Ibañez is not going to play 4 days a week, but when a lefty's in the mound or on the mound, he's batting cleanup. You know, Sunday night, the primetime spot, game four of the World Series, Andy's in there. Kerry Carpenter, one of the most, I think he's a guy who deserves a lot more playing time and a lot more praise. Willing to sit the bench 2-3 games. He comes in the sixth inning and he hits a blast. So on paper, yeah, I do think Devers would be a good fit, but just kind of getting a feel for the vibes of the team. I don't know if that be the best fit.
Yeah, no, definitely see it. How you feel about the Tigers? And like I said, are they a contender? Like actually, to finally arrive to where we expected them to be, or is this just a hot start?
They are what the Orioles should be. I think that's what the Detroit Tigers are. I think that instead of Brandon Hyde, you probably should have taken a stab at AJ Hinch. You saw the Tigers make a really, really, really convincing argument for Alex Bregman. So this is not like I don't think this is like a one and done, because they did it last year. Last year, they looked really good. You have a Cy Young winning pitcher who I would not be hard pressed is going to say is going to win a second one this year. I just think that they have so much depth and talent, and they just have bodies, 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 bodies. And when you have bodies like that, you can win a lot of games in the first half and you can trade a lot of those bodies off for the second half. And I think that's probably what the Tigers are going to do. I'm not saying that the Padres are going to completely fall apart and dismantle, but I am saying that Dylan Cease is available. I am saying that you could probably convince the outwardly, yes, we're very poor people to maybe get rid of a Xander Bogaerts or Manny Machado if you make the money interesting enough. And Xander Bogaerts and AJ Hinch, maybe. Like there's some things that we can do here, and we talked about like positional differences. And so, there's some things there for the Tigers, but I do think they're the real deal. I would not be surprised to see the Tigers continue to do this, just because, again, starting pitching, you have the best starting pitcher. You can get another really good starting pitcher, and you have a lot of guys that you can move. So I'm all in on the Tigers.
Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. It's also funny that, as a fan of a team in the AL Central, a few years ago, it was like, who's going to take over this division and run away? Is it going to be the Tigers? Is it going to be the White Sox? And now, over the past few years, we've seen it is still the same two teams. It is the Cleveland Indians and the Detroit Tigers. Kansas City will pop in there every once in a while, and I still think that's a team that's young and talented, and they're going to be around, especially with Bobby Witt, who's a fucking monster. But I mean, it's just crazy how the times have changed, and now there's a completely different feel for the AL Central in terms of who's going to take it over and who's going to run with it.
Can we acknowledge that you just called the Cleveland baseball team by their dead name?
Oh, my bad. I do that sometimes. I do apologize. I do. I'm not gonna lie,
dead name? That's so funny.
I'm not gonna lie, like the Cleveland baseball team, the Guardians, and that football team in Washington. Sometimes I slip up. Like I'm showing my age with that one. Sometimes I definitely slip up.
It's screwed in. It's all good. They still calling them the umpires are still calling them the Oakland A's.
Yeah. No. So yeah. They're
not. That's gross.
The Oakland A's. They be catching themselves. I'm like, come on, man. Come on. Yeah.
I still find it very bizarre that they didn't even want to affix themselves temporarily to Sacramento. You can't be that ashamed of being in Sacramento. You're playing in Sacramento.
Yeah.
If I was out there, I'd be pissed.
I don't get that at all, especially rocking the Vegas on your sleeve, not nothing for the city, just for one year, for a few t-shirts. That's
disrespectful.
They haven't even put a shovel in Vegas, but that's another story.
It's not happening.
You have been doing pods with me for much longer than I've been obviously doing these pods with Sid and Malik. How long have I been beating this drum and saying that stadium is not happening because that team is not moving to Vegas?
As a frequent visitor, I would love to watch baseball in Vegas. I don't see how.
As a former Las Vegas resident,
I don't see where they're going to put it. I don't know what the metrics are. I'm hoping.
I am all for Las Vegas getting baseball. I am not for John Fisher getting richer when he doesn't deserve it. I am not for Las Vegas politicians undercutting locals and attempting to get them to foot the bill for a stadium. Sorry, get someone really rich up in here, because you can't tell me that the billionaires can't get a luncheon together on a weekend and like fund that baseball stadium that like that. Stop asking us for money, bro. I'm over it.
I'm glad you said that, because obviously we got to go to our series of the week, but I have this running idea that I think would, well, I know it would end a lot of the arguments that we have about public funding for stadiums, but I also know how rich people work, so this will never happen. Every league, especially the two that build the most stadiums, MLB and the NFL, they generate enough money annually to where they can have their own stadium fund, to where the league funds these stadiums, and then these owners pay the league back. It's a lot of built-in, easy, simple shit that they could do, but they're not going to do it because, you know, why spend my money when I can spend your money? So, correct. I mean, it's fucked up, but as long as, I've said, you know, as long as sports are, you know, intertwined in our society, this is an unfortunate thing we have to deal with.
Hey, I just really think we're past the era of constituents being willing to fund billionaires' freaking playgrounds. I really think that ship has sailed.
Absolutely.
We saw the Kansas City.
We're not getting enough back.
The Chiefs brought freaking Kansas City a Super Bowl, and those people still said hell no when they asked them to fund that stadium renovations. And I don't blame them.
I think it's one of those things where now, even though we know how we talk about meathead fans, fans are smarter than they've ever been, and there's more information that's readily available to where you can, certain teams, you can see how much they generated. You can see the money that they're making. You can see the net worth of these owners and what they do. And like, it's like, bro, you are fucking with me if you're sitting here asking me to pay for this, but you are a actual billionaire, and I am a everyday American citizen.
Yeah. So
it's interesting, but like I said, we're going to see how that goes, but let's get into our wrap up. Our series of the weekend. Mine, I'll be quick just because the Braves haven't announced their probable starters. Like I said, I believe they were waiting on the results of this Strider simulated game to see, because they were still trying to decide if he was going to just come right back to the roster or go for a rehab start. So I think it's going to be a really good series. You got Crochet going game one. I know we just talked about Schoolboy, but Crochet has been just as dominant. He's 4-2 with a 1.93 ERA, 65 strikeouts. Just must-see TV, and he's been like that since he was a reliever for the White Sox. I've always really enjoyed watching this guy pitch, and I think that game one is going to be a tough one at Fenway. Game two, you got another former White Sox, Lucas Giolito, who has looked like a shell of himself. But he'll be going in game two, and neither team has announced a starter for game three. So I think this is another series where if you're the Atlanta Braves, you're playing another team that's just like you, hovering around 500. So you need to keep trying to stack these series victories, because right now the Mets have not slowed down. So again, we know it's early, but you have to stay in at the pace of your division, as opposed to, you know, these constantly win by one run, lose by one run. I think they had a streak of, I want to say, 7 or 8 games in a row where they alternated one-run wins and one-run losses. So you just start stacking these wins, man, because this division is tough, and it's only going to get tougher. And so it would be perfect for you to get above 500 and get some momentum, and then, boom, next thing you know, you look up, and your MVP right fielder is back and your best pitcher is back. So I think this is going to be a good series. I'm still the Boston situation is so crazy, because I think we all had extremely high hopes for them in terms of competing with the Yankees and battling in that division. And they're just, like I said, a 500 ball club right now, internal issues, all of that. So this is another series that the Braves can potentially win. Like, and again, stacking another one. If they win tonight, we're recording this on Wednesday, they'll have officially wrapped up the series against the Nationals. And so, I mean, they'll be back on the roll. So let's see if they can do that. But I do think that's going to be some good baseball up in Fenway. Let's start with you, Court. Well, no, go ahead, bro. What's up?
So remember all those years when the Mets' best acquisition for like every trade deadline was Jacob DeGrom coming back and whatever ghosted body they had in center field? Welcome to hell. That is where the Atlanta Braves are. You are waiting for your right fielder and your starting pitcher with high velocity, right? Welcome to hell.
When I tell you, I knew it was when Snick said he pinch hit Rosario because he was trying to capture some of that old magic back. I said, oh, yeah, they're on autopilot.
That's the Dave Roberts.
What the hell is going on?
Because I was, you know, I had a little bit of loyalty. Nigga, fuck loyalty.
No, that's that old school baseball gut feeling bullshit. It's like, bro, no, we're going to go with these numbers. Take his ass out.
I replayed that 2019 NLDS over and over and over again in my head. It's my new Game 6 2011 World Series. I think about it all the time. Because why would you let Clayton Kershaw go back out there?
No, it was
bad. Why would you let him do that?
Courtney, hey, what series you got for us this week?
So I am, you know, we got a lot of rivalries going on this weekend. But we got a Seattle and San Diego this weekend out at Petco, a little 3-game set. I did a little digging, kind of tried again. There weren't any announcements. It's still TBD. So this is all hypothetical. And I just did it based on previous starts, who's available. I'm thinking on Friday, we're going to get Steven Kolek, who ironically, I'm pretty sure they got him from Seattle via the Rule 5 draft. So that's an interesting little storyline to watch if you're into like random nonsensical narratives. Steven Kolek versus Logan Evans on Friday. Saturday, Emerson Hancock versus Nick Pivetta is what I'm thinking for Saturday. And then Sunday, end the series, Bryson Wu and Michael King. I don't really know where to go with this Seattle rotation right now because they are so injured. That being said, George Kirby, I think, is making his final rehab start on Friday. So I'm pretty sure he will be slotted back into that rotation and just in time for some pretty important series coming up here for Seattle. So definitely check that out. Both teams are, as of late, obviously Seattle's still first in the division. San Diego's 26-15 right now, second place in the NL West, which no one is really going to dethrone the Dodgers, I don't think, at this particular time. But they are hovering. They're 6-4 in their last 10. It should be a great series. I'm a little worried for Seattle. I think there is a very real possibility that they could get swept. But stay tuned.
All right, Malik, what you got for us, bro?
Well, I'll call it the main event of rivalry weekend. My favorite series, one of my favorite teams to watch on the road, and my favorite player to watch on the road is Jose Altuve, because I don't know if it's just in Texas, but the way they boo that man is America's most wanted. But game one of the Silver Boot series, the Astros and the Rangers, will start with Jacob DeGrom versus Hunter Brown on Thursday. Eovaldi versus the returning, struggling Lance McCullers on Friday night. What I think my favorite matchup of the week, Tyler Mahal against Ronel Blanco. He had a no-hitter last year, and he came pretty damn close to no-hitting Texas, I believe. And then we'll see Jack Leiter on Sunday. Both teams, you said Mariners are in first place. They're only up by a game or two. They also lost on Wednesday, so they're about to lose a game. I think that those two teams, the Rangers and the Astros, are both going to be in that AL mix the whole year. I think that Seattle's pitchers getting hurt definitely affected them not being able to extend their lead as big as it should be with as good as baseball as they're playing. Like I said, they were, like we talked about last week, they're one of the best hitting teams in baseball now, and now they can't pitch. And just in time for Jose Altuve to start heating up. He's hitting .286 this week or in his last seven. Rangers are looking a lot better. And then I'm pretty sure Jordan Alvarez will be back in the lineup too this weekend. So, like I said, you guys tune into the Silver Boot. A much hated noon start on Sunday for the Roku game.
Yeah, definitely, bro. I mean, I'm also shocked that the Cubs and White Sox aren't playing on rivalry week, but that's another story. Sid, bro, the star tender, take us home. Well, what before you give us your series, how was the Kentucky Derby, bro? It's one of those American events that I still plan on hitting. I haven't had the chance to do it yet, but it's definitely on my bucket list.
Dog,
how was it?
You gotta come to the Derby, bro. So, like, first of all, I worked the entire weekend, but like it was so crazy. A woman gave me $900 after I clocked out. She just gave me $900 in cash for being a good bartender. yeah, so
that's that long one.
Yeah, like the Derby is great. Ponies. Yeah, bro. I did take to horse betting that week. Sovereignty won. I ran around my house blasting Travis Scott Fiend. Because that's what we do in this bar, this side of town. So, yeah, the Derby is always great. Lots of money to be made. Lots of people. Lots of interesting people. Always a lot of out of towners. It happens in four phases. It's weird. So like it starts on like 5:00 Tuesday. Then it's like a Wednesday thing. I don't remember. Thursday is Thurby. Friday is Oaks, which is the girl horses racing. Saturday is the Derby, which is all the male horses racing. And then Sunday is kind of nothing, but then Monday was Cinco de Mayo. So it was crazy that, yeah, dog, it was, there's a lot going on down here. It's a fun time to be sober. No, we got the New York Mets and we have the New York Yankees. We have Aaron Judge versus Pete Alonso. Our probable pitchers, we have Carlos Rodon versus Tyler McGill. We have Clark Schmidt versus Griffin Canning. And we have Max Fried versus David Peterson. Pete Alonso is leading the Mets in home runs, RBIs, and averages. Aaron Judge is leading the Yankees in home runs, RBIs, and averages. Judge with 40 RBIs and a 410. Pete with 9, 36, and a 310. This should be good. This should be really, really, really good. Not only should it be really good, this should really be decided not by the stars in this series, but by the guys who are a little bit lower in the lineup. For the Yankees, it's all about Trent Grisham. For the Mets in the bottom of the lineup, it's all about Malik, one of your old friends, Luis Angel Acuña Jr. Last year, he impressed everyone with his power. I think he had like a 650 something slug last year, but this year he's completely turned it around. It's all about average speed and stolen bases this year. You know, he traded that off. There were a lot of questions about how locked in he was in the minors, just because, much like his older brother, if it's not like the real thing, he's not really interested, which whom's among us, you know? And Trent Grisham hitting a 294, 374 on base percentage, a 651 slug. He is carrying the bottom of that lineup. And then Ben Rice. Ben Rice is one of those guys who last year he only had like 50 at bats. And this year he's already eclipsing all of his stats, obviously. In 2024, 171 average, 264 on base percentage, 359 slug, 152 ABs this year already. 254, 358, and a 554 slug. So the kid's going to do his thing. He's hitting for power. Him and Aaron Judge are kind of looking like the developmental guys that they've kind of been trying to find in after losing Juan Soto. And for me personally, this is one, you know, a lot of people are talking about Juan Soto and the return to Yankee Stadium. This isn't about him. To me, this is about the establishment of the Mets starting pitchers. It's about Griffin Canning. How well does he look against Aaron Judge and Paul Goldschmidt and the ghost of Cody Bellinger and Trent Grisham and Austin Wells? And so, you know, we are getting to a point with the Mets where we're starting to see that these guys aren't flukes anymore with this pitching and this run prevention and everything with them. And so I'm excited. It's a 3-game set in Yankee Stadium. Juan Soto, welcome home, old home, whatever. Go yard, brother. Go yard like a designer bag. Hit them home runs. Pete Alonso, do what you got to do. I think the Mets probably get away with this one.
And I know you got to close out. I know you got to close us out, Dante. But Sid, I really thought you were about to do a whole Yankees versus Mets promo and not mention Juan Soto's name.
How impressive would that have been? I was like, wait a minute. How impressive would that have been? That would have been so impressive, right?
You could have got out of there.
He was close. He was close.
I would have been. I would have been watching it. I would have been like, why are they booing this guy so bad?
Nah, dog. So you know what? Yeah. It's so easy to talk about Juan Soto. There's so many stories there, but there's so many more good things happening with like these two baseball teams right now. Like,
for sure.
I don't want to talk about Juan Soto. I'll be talking about Juan Soto for the next 14 years. Pete Alonso, I don't know if he's going to be here next year. Like, let's revel in some in like this. Respect. Like, he's going to be our franchise home run leader by the end of this season. Let's talk about the guy, you know, like we don't got to talk about Juan yet. Like, let him chill.
And we were really debating bullshit that the New York Post was saying about who's hidden behind Juan Soto. That's hilarious. But nah, man, once again, another great episode with my favorite people to talk baseball with. As usual, October's on tail. You know where you can follow me. That is only my Twitter. If you see me on Instagram and you follow me, cool. If not, I'm not going to tell you what my Instagram is. That's just how this goes. I got my boy, like I said, CS Slide Park. Appreciate you being back in the building, bro. 1-800-CALLER-BRO. One of the best at talking baseball. I think every person on this can agree. We love talking baseball with Courtney. It's always a good time. And my guy, _TeamMill, holding it down. In Dallas with Courtney. Make sure you check out his YouTube, bro. A lot of great videos, great interviews. I love the setup they have in Dallas where you can actually get to the players and talk to them. And, bro, you've been really holding it down and doing your thing. So make sure you check out everything Malik is doing. As usual, follow us at the Barber's Chair Co on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/ Barber's Chair Network. We got 4 different tiers, all very affordable, a lot of great content. If you need any of our merch, we got hats, we got sweatshirts, we got t-shirts, we got mugs. We got a new Caleb Williams shirt. It's actually pretty dope. Check that out at bcnetshot.com. And for everything else Barber's Chair Net related, make sure you check us out at thebcnet.com. Like I said, this has been the High and Outside Podcast, episode 5, with your favorite baseball yappers. If we ever get sued, we might change the name to the Baseball Yappers, but y'all hold it down.
3 has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.